Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
All right, I should probably preach this morning because that's what the devil hates and God likes, so let's do it. Title of my message is Foresight Failure. Foresight Failure. Definition is the inability to predict or the inability to take action of predicting what will happen or be needed in the future. The inability to plan your actions. Typical thing I would hear is my lack of foresight has cost me dearly in the marketplace. So people that don't project or think about the decisions they're making in business can shoot themselves in the foot. So what's amazing is why I wanted to preach on this, and God had spoke to me a few weeks ago about this, showed me this thing, and as I was working it out, it got confirmed. We brought in Pastor Paul Scanlon on Friday, who taught a mastering communication class, which was epic. We're going to bring him back to do it again, because I need the whole church to go. And he's preaching tonight at the 5 p.m. One of the greatest articulators and communicators, was a pastor for 30 years. Now he's retired, passed on the church to his kids, but he's in the secular world teaching on communication from biblical principle. He's like a ninja. So in the UK, it's like he cannot talk Jesus or he'll be slayed. So he's had to learn to articulate the gospel with no mention of Jesus or God and still be able to penetrate into the minds all these principles that the Word of God teaches. So it was amazing to hear. So he was sharing with me a story, and it was the same verse that the Lord had given me, and I kind of freaked out, showed him my notes so he didn't think I was cheating on him. And he's like, wow, there's timing that God always has for a certain reason. And then to hear your beautiful tithe message, it was on that same tithing. And I really felt like we have just come out of Empower. We have just really been moving in the power of God, in the Holy Spirit. We're a Holy Spirit church. We don't shy away from it. If you're new here, hey, listen, come check us out. We're not weird. We don't throw Bibles. We're not judging people. We're loving people and walking them through their ish. And it's real life. And that's why I'm saying, you know, how I live my life, I'm not this different on Monday. It's Monday through Sunday for me. And I told Pastor Juergen, if you're going to put me in the pulpit, just know I can't tone down who God created me to do, because I grew up in a church of Christianese fake people, and I refuse to be a part of that. And for 12 years, I've been in this house, and I can tell you we have some of the greatest pastors that I've watched. And not only they build big people, they love people through their stuff. You know, it was before when, you know, and I've said it many times, is my wife, who is zero Christian, he's got saved in this church. This is all she ever knows. So when she finds someone talking bad about the church, it rubs her the wrong way. She's never had a bad experience because she's only been in this house. See, many of us maybe came from other places, and we have experiences. Well, just because I had a bad haircut doesn't mean I'm not going to ever get my haircut again. Okay? And so it's amazing because my wife's filter is just one way. Awesome for the house of God. Many of us have other experiences with the house of God, but we can either bring that baggage in or we can let it go and let God do a new thing, a new day, in a house where I can tell you that it's tested, true, and tried, and our Pastor Juergen and Lan are amazing leaders. Didn't say perfect, but they can own it. Don't let pride or ego get in the way and speak through a thing. And we're all walking this journey out together, and that's why I can follow them anywhere. So what if I said you don't need more faith, you just need more foresight? Let me hear you out. Being a pastor, one of the most amazing things is doing these pastoral care meetings, and then, you know, I'm watching people get words that are so spot on, so powerful. I'm watching people get prayed for, delivered, slain in the spirit, you name it. I mean, I love that stuff. I've seen people radically healed. The Book of Miracles, that's not a joke around here. I don't even like when people take it lightly. I'm not going to hand it to somebody that's going to pray trivial prayers. God, none of that. We're going to pray with power, with authority, and we're going to see it happen. That's why we do. People will drive from all over because they know that we're not going to back down or be intimidated. We're going to go after the miracles. And so I say that because I keep experiencing people that maybe won't apply just wisdom, something practical, because they've always gone after the power. We are a power church, and I'll never shy away from that, but you can't just be power. You have to be practical. See, there's a world out there that doesn't speak Christianese lingo. They don't understand some of the terminology. They'll come in and hear a tithe message, and they'll be like, well, God's never blessed me. Why should I give it? The money just wants my church. Or the church just wants my money. They hear all these things because they don't speak a language. And what I want us to be is a church that knows how to operate in power, but also operates in wisdom. Because I can sit down with somebody and just talk to them as a relational person for a couple hours, see where they're lacking foresight for their life, give them wisdom, and then guess what? Miraculous change in the next 3 weeks. Like, incredible fruit. Oh my gosh, my life is completely different. I can't believe that one meeting with you. And all it was wisdom on a practical level, because I know they've been prayed for, they've been delivered, they've got a word from the Lord, but they're still walking this stuff out because there's no practicality. And at some point, I have to bring a word of, let's get practical with the word of God. Let's just take some of these biblical truths and apply them practically in our life so we can see a shift or a change in our life. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to back down from the supernatural, but I need more than the supernatural. There's a world out there that can't wrap their head around just the supernatural. They might think it's weird, so they'll never show up. But if you can talk to them as a human being, guess where they show up? They follow you to church on Sunday because they see something that they can relate to in your life that they want to be a part of. You know, this is Connect Month. And as our church grows, see, we're 50% growth rate right now. We're 4 campuses. We're on the way to 16, not because that sounds awesome, not because we're trying to be a church statistic. What we're really trying to do is influence a community and get us healthier. If we get healthier, people want to be, because we're called to be the light of the world, I want some of what you got. And if they don't like what you got, they're going to go downtown and got what they got, because that seems more real than what you got. And so, you know, I love some of the stuff we do, like the Next Steps class. I know the Oleskis are an amazing couple. They do this Next Steps class, people that, whether they've been saved forever, but don't know some of the practical things. There's a book called Following Jesus it's based after. I know we give it to every new believer. It's amazing how many don't read it. But what happens is when you do read it, when you do go to a connect group called Next Steps, which you do get the practicalities, I know there's massive fruit coming out of that group. I hear testimonies every week. Oh, I went to this group. Oh my gosh, I met amazing people. This happened. This is how I got connected. Great fruit due to connection, due to a small group. And it being a Connect Month, meaning we just launched all Connect groups again for this semester, it's so powerful that we all get connected. If I could give you any advice today, don't do life alone, and you're about to find out why. And so we have lots of information on that. Please take us up on that. It's wisdom to prosper for you about getting connected to people. So I'm going to read the context out of 2 Kings 4. It's Elisha and the widow's oil. How many of you have heard that story before, besides our tithe message? Come on, I've heard it so many times, but guess what? I've never seen it like this. So I want to read it to you. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my 2 sons to be slaves." All right, let's make it modern day. The dad died. The father of the house died, left the wife tons of debt. All she had were some sons, so they were going to come after bankruptcy, and whether the kids were going to foster care, or the kids were going to be taken, or they were going to have to figure out how to do fine. They were going to lose their house. They're going to lose everything due to a husband that just peaced out, which happens today in real life. The wife got held, holding the bag, 2 kids, no money, no finances, and here she is crying out to the man of God, maybe a pastor at a church. So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, hello, devil's mad. I know. Come on, I know you didn't want me to go here today. "Your maidservant has nothing in this house but a jar of oil." Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all of your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you come in, you should shut the door behind you and with your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. He said to her, there is no more. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons will live on the rest. Pretty amazing story. How do we apply it? Well, I've heard the miracle of obedience. Here she was distraught, lost her husband. A man of God came. A pastor came to the house. She was obedient. I think that's a miracle. I've heard that preached. The miracle of having a prophet coming over. That's a miracle. Miracle of the supernatural. How many know that was a supernatural act of God? Thank God for the supernatural. A miracle of abundance and provision. How many know our God does that? Not just one-offs in the Bible. He's doing it still today. I can give you miracles every Tuesday. If you want to come and you're a man, show up at 5:30. Here's some God stories that will fill you full of faith to go out and take a thing. Come on, Patrick and Holmes. But I think there's another miracle that isn't as noticed because it's not the big thing. That's what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the thing that doesn't look like the big thing, because sometimes we're looking for the massive miracle. God, I need you to provide this. I need a house. I need my debt canceled. I need this. So we're forgetting to look at some of the basic principles, and it's called real life. And I think it has to do with sometimes even as Christians, we're going into church looking for the miracle. We're losing foresight to see the practical of what can we do? What can we do? So we're going after some foresight. The foresight to do what Jesus always did. Jesus was always about relationships. How about the miracle of relationships in this story? Let's go back and look at it. I'm just going to go to verse 2. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do to you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing. Come on, say nothing.
Nothing.
In the house but a jar of oil. So she just kind of threw it off as, I got nothing but a jar of oil. But that's something. If you have something, God can do it. He can use it. But this is what I love. Here's where it gets powerful. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Don't just gather a few. Wait, you don't like my mic? Was it something I did? Did I slobber on it? Hello?
No, you're good.
Oh, I sound sexier. I know. I need all the help I can get at this point, so. Thank you for a mic that makes me sound better. Anyways, no. Go borrow the vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Don't just gather a few. Let's go to the bottom of that verse. Go sell the oil and pay your debt. So get out of bankruptcy, and you and your sons, not just you, will live on the rest. Now I want to tell you, there was a solution, but the miracle is really about relationships. Let me ask you this. What if she didn't like her neighbors? What if her neighbors were gay? Oh, shoot. What if her neighbors were Muslim? What if her neighbors were Democrat or Republican? What if she made a stand in her neighborhood that she didn't like going out on the Friday night community wine night because she don't drink and that's from the devil? What if she was too busy and she didn't want her sons hanging out with the neighbors? My question is, where is she getting the vessels from? Because the word says, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. What if she was that neighbor? How many of you have had that neighbor that drove you crazy? See, my wife and I had a neighbor, I'll never forget it, was harassing my wife all the time, saying rude things, hated the fact we had Connect Group, always complaining about cars in the driveway. I mean, literally would wait for me to get home and I'd be walking in the door, oh yeah. And by the way, this was before I was a pastor, so. But I did rather, instead of pray for them, because on a Tuesday, I'll never forget it, clear as day, the Holy Spirit told me, you need to pray blessing over your neighbor. I said, I'll bless them tonight with a bag of something and put it on their doorstep and ring the doorbell. That was my blessing. But how many know that, thank goodness for the Holy Spirit and a good pastor. Pastor Juergen said that's probably not the wise thing to do. So I literally asked my pastor, and he said, pray for him, pray a blessing. Gave me examples in his life, because that's what he did, and he walked through it. And if he could do it, I can do it. So I prayed blessing. This was on a Tuesday. I got the word from the Lord. I talked to Pastor Juergen that day. By Wednesday, I'd walk out every morning, 6 a.m., and I'd pray as I get in my car, God bless them. I did that Wednesday morning, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, Thursday night, Friday morning, jumped on a plane, went and spoke at a conference. My wife calls me Saturday morning. You won't believe it. There's a real estate sign up on our neighbor's front yard. No joke. And that's cool. You're like, oh, that's so serendipitous. No, you know what it was? She had already moved. The company bought the house and was going to sell it, didn't care how long it took. He moved that weekend because she got blessed with a promotion in Chicago. See you later. And guess what? My pain went away. But guess what? I don't think my pain would have gone away if I didn't get practical and pray blessing something I didn't want to wear. But I'm just saying, we all have neighbors. But what I'm saying is the miracle in this was the relationship that she had with her neighbors, because she actually had foresight. She didn't know her husband was going to die. She didn't know that she was going to be broke. She didn't know she was going to need provision. What would God have done if she didn't have any vessels or relationships and she didn't go? She sent her sons out to go. So her sons had the courage to go knock on all the doors, and I'm sure the neighbors gladly, because they have enough vessels gathered to get out of debt and to live their life moving forward, not just her and her son. That's how many vessels they went and got. That's how many neighbors' doors they knocked on. And how many of you would give up your vessels to a neighbor you didn't like? It's something to think about. What are we as the church? What would your miracle look like if she had just one vessel? I promise you, it wouldn't have been getting out of debt and being sustainable long term. So what's the church to you? Is it a hope dealership? Is it a tribe? Is it a community? Or is it used as a genie in the bottle, a quick fix, a show, a guilt management system? I mean, I went to church for a long time because I knew my mom would be calling. So I'd quickly look up on Google, where's the closest service, the quickest, because I only could send her to voicemail so many times before she might jump on a plane and come down here. I have that mom. Ask my wife. You didn't have to reinforce it so much, but Mom, we love you if you're podcasting this. My wife's tired, Mom. Don't worry about it. She loves you. But I know this about this church. The church's number one goal is to facilitate the establishing of relationships with endless resources. Why does Pastor Juergen allow me to hold cash flow nights with some coaches? Why does he want me to bring in speakers and guest speakers? And why do we do Pathfinders? Bringing in one of our very own. We're establishing resources through relationships that empower you and I to be the light of the world in a practical way, not just a powerful way. There has to be a balance. So what if relationships are your resources? How resourced are you? See, it allows us to practice the 100 or so one another's in the Bible. I love this. There's over 100 one another commands in the Bible. Christ commands us, bear one another's burdens in Galatians. Confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another. There's one another's all throughout the Bible, yet do we have another? Why do we care about cherish nights? Why do we care about emerge nights? Why do we do things that is so relational? I want to show this clip. Can we show that video clip? Do we got it? Oh, we're good. Oh, I couldn't show it the first service. This is what small groups could be, but they're not here.
Are you tired of small groups always getting into your business, trying to get you to share your feelings, discuss your past, confess your sins? Are you just looking for a place to kick it, network, maybe get some free grub? Me too. That's why I created what I believe to be the world's first openly shallow small group. We're not here to deal with messy stuff like feelings and emotions. You got problems? You deal with that. You're an adult. Life ain't easy. So stop the pity party. We all have our issues. We don't really want to do life together. Frankly, at Shallow Small Group, we try not to do much of anything at all. You'll never hear us use the term unpack that thought. We're sure it's packed away for a really good reason. And you'll never hear us use the term accountability unless you're talking about someone who deals with numbers. Hey, dude, thanks for doing my taxes. You have great accountability. And spiritual growth. Who wants growth? I had a growth remove last week. It wasn't pleasant. There's no pressure here to remember each other's name.
What's going on, buddy?
Oh, hey, man. How's it going?
That's good.
Hey, Chief. Oh, dude.
Captain, what's going on?
We know you have a name, and that's the important thing. Group discussion? You got tickets to the big game? Sweet. Let's spend some time on that. Oh, you and your wife are struggling financially? There's tension in the relationship? That's not really the vibe we're going for. We avoid conflict like the plague.
Who wants cake?
Come on and get it!
And there will never, ever be an awkward silence. That's our guarantee to you. We hate bad theology as much as the next guy, and we know the surest way to prevent bad theology is to avoid theology altogether. And outreach? This is the only outreach you'll ever have to do. Some people say we're superficial, but hey, the word super's in superficial. I mean, who doesn't want to be super? Shallow small group, because when things get too deep, people drown. Won't you join us?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I want to segue with that video on YC3. Why I can leave a marketplace to do this in this house, it's just a couple things I want to share with you. Number one is, we do worship Jesus Christ. We preach the Bible. We teach how to move in the Holy Spirit. We practice communion, and we believe in baptism. Just in case you didn't know that. We encourage service, meaning we know this house was built on volunteers, but we teach that serving unlocks you. You get around people because if you don't know how to establish relationships, because sometimes it's not easy for everybody, we want to create a place for you to serve, to meet people that have stuff in common. We don't want you to go to a small group, hence we call them connect groups, and they're not shallow. And there's real people going through real things, but they're amazing people. And what I love about this church, it flows from the top down. I know our pastors are amazing, and they're relational, and that flows from top down. When you go to Connect Groups, it's about relationships. We're not there to preach to you. We're there to get connected with you. We're there to do life with you. We're there to resource you. We're there to have vessels that you may need one day. And I think it's so important to know that what serving in the church does is get connect to the next level. That's what serving in the house does. Next one is number three, we encourage mission. I want you to know that we have a mission to reach the lost, meaning we want this to be a place that isn't Spiro, that isn't weird, that we have incredible worship, that we have incredible things so you can bring your friends here to hear the gospel, the whole gospel, to see what God's done in your life, and they say, I want what you got. We're on a mission. You know what I love, even the greater mission that's an underlying mission, is that this is a leader's church because Pastor Jurgen is looking to unlock leaders and gifts in the inside of you. I could tell you, having you come up for the tithe message, having Irina in the first service coming up. Last week we did a 3x10. There, you know, Irina was up here prophesying, had her own revelation because she was prophesied to when she was a teenager, saying that she would be in other nations prophesying over people, and here she was working it out. It's because we have a pastor that wants to release his pulpit to your gift. He wants to get you serving to unlock something. He wants to get you. We will find a place. You can ask my wife. We've made up positions. And listen, those people have turned it into something powerful. We want to let you know that in this house, we want you to be resourced so you can be a resource to a world that's lost, that doesn't know the good news of Jesus Christ. Encourage number four, community. The church takes relationships and accountability pretty serious around here. You can say, I don't know anybody. Well, I can promise you it's not because of the soil here. You actually have to take a step forward. That's why we have connect groups and prayer, and we try to put on, some people think, oh, you guys have so many events, because we'll do whatever it takes to get people plugged in somewhere so they can find their tribe, they can get in a lane, and they can flourish. It's so important to us. Community is everything. You know, I love that we get to raise up so many boss leaders. Samuel Deuce, we took over a church right now in Salt Lake City. It's our sixth location, and he's up there preaching. And last night he was doing a leadership thing, and all these people were like coming to life. Like, what? You're saying what? We can do this in the church? See, we've been around it, some of us, for a while, so we take it for granted. But he called me last night, pumped out of his mind, going, they are so hungry up here. They've never experienced anything like this. And it's just a powerful thing. You know, you'll notice I didn't mention anything about preaching styles and music or venues. I know the spirit of excellence, we have all that great things because it's mostly about the relationships in this house. I want you to know that. We do have incredible preachers, but it's not always about Pastor Juergen up here preaching. It's not always about me as a campus pastor up here preaching. We bring in some of the greatest communicators, some of the greatest preachers. And we do that because we want to empower you. Like, listen, I never thought 12 years ago I'd be up here preaching. I was happy with my wife to be setting up the bathrooms. I love Danny Goki, who goes to our friend's church in Nashville, who will not give up being a parking attendant, even though he's a celebrity. He says, don't take that away. I love serving the house of God. Don't take it away from me. I don't want to be up on the stage. I do that for a living. I want to be in the parking lot connecting with people. That's the heart of Jesus, and that's what I want us to do in this house. You know, in this book, willpower doesn't work. It's a PhD in psychology. The book's ringing my bell, but I just want to give you just four things that I think are so important for the church today. The biblical truth about relationships is all through the Bible. Jesus was a study on relationships, but it's important that we don't get shy away from resources that we have today. Like, I guarantee this guy's got to be Christian. He's ripped off half of this right out of the Word of God and even quoting scripture in this book, but he's not a professed Christian. This isn't a Christianese book at a Christian bookstore. This is a business book, and I'm in the business world, and I'm a marketplace influencer, and I'm not going to shy away from that. That's one of my callings. And you can do both. Come on, Matt Tuggle, preacher, anointed man of God. We got a pumpkin patch coming where we're all going to buy our pumpkin patches. Three of them. Come on. Inflatable world, killing it in the marketplace right now, but he stepped out in faith. But he has an anointing to preach the gospel. We're not going to let that thing be stifled. We're going to unlock it in this house. So listen, here's four quick things. Page 78, it says in the book, Willpower Doesn't Work by Benjamin Hardy, he talks about the hidden keys to success. And he studied psychology. This thing is researched like crazy. Number one, there will always be some difficulty when you're trying to improve your life. Becoming a better person is difficult. You are where you are because of who you are. Your environment is a product of you. You're the magnet pulling in the patterns. If some of the outside of you were to change your environment for you, you'd quickly find yourself in the same station you are now, hence that most people, when they win the lottery, quickly return to their poverty. A revelation is great, but if it's not grounded in changing your behavior, you'll keep going back to the same thing based on your environment. Your environment matters. If you're a Christian on a Sunday, but on Monday you go back to the same habits, the same friends, the same relationship, and you do not change a thing, you'll be going back to an altar next Sunday, saying the same thing, confessing the same sins to one another, trying to get the same breakthrough, because then on Monday you're creating the same patterns again that aren't healthy for you. It's so important to know that you have a role to play. Jesus is doing his part. Great, you receive Jesus. You're going to heaven. There's eternal life. That is the most important thing. But while we're still on here on earth, because if that was it, he would take us to heaven immediately the minute you got saved. How many know we're supposed to walk it out and work it out? And that means we got to make some changes with some foresight that we have to plan and maybe cut off some stuff that isn't healthy for us. Number two, on page 86, he goes on to say this principle, eliminate people. The devil is in the distractions you were unwilling to let go of. See, we can blame the devil for this, blame the devil for that, but let me ask you this. What are the relationships in your life that you know that aren't healthy for you that you keep going back to? Maybe some of the same things that you keep hearing in your same circles that have left you victimized that you think are normal because your friends are telling you it's okay. I'm here to tell you it might not be okay. Is it easy? No, but I love Dan Sullivan wrote this. Surround yourself with the people who remind you more of your future than your past. Page 92. Addiction comes from having ineffective defaults in a place. This Canadian psychologist doing research on mice, trying to understand the nature of addiction, conducted several studies in which one rat was poisoned in a small cage. Within that cage, there were two water bottles, one with regular water and one with water laced with either heroin or cocaine. Nearly 100% of the time, that rat became obsessed with the drugged water and drank it until he died. Crazy, right? Not really. They took another rat. They put it in a cage full of rats. The study goes on to saying, the person's environment with relationship, the pattern was completely different. 98% of the rats wouldn't touch the laced heroin or cocaine water. The ones that did would not go back to it again. They would not become addicted to it because of their relationships and their surrounding in a different cage with multiple rats. There's a full study on it. You can go look it up. Your environment matters. My wife had a tough choice to make when she came to this house. She got saved. Her four girlfriends, called the Fab Four, they were all in sororities. They were her best friends. All partiers, great people, didn't know Jesus. My wife came, met Jesus. She had a decision to make. As she was working it out, she didn't cut it off. She just was being torn. Hanging out with Pastor Leanne was a little different than the Fab Four on a Friday night. She had a decision to make. What I'm so proud of my wife, why I can respect her so much, even as an older guy, I never told her what to do. She yielded to the Holy Spirit, but at some point, how many know that she, not a supernatural encounter, she had to make a decision to cut those relationships off. All four of them were in our wedding. If we got married today, they wouldn't even be on the top 42 list of being in our wedding party. My wife is a different person today based on tough decisions she had to make to walk away from unhealthy choices in her life. Some of us keep going back, whether it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend. What if the new girl doesn't know about how awesome I am and all the great things I did in high school? Like I was the quarterback. Dude, who cares? You'll do another great things. You're an amazing person, not of what you did, but it's who you are. And what happens is we live in this fantasy land where the devil tries to get in our mind saying that there's something that isn't out there for us that's better than what we have, so we settle. My wife could have said that. She didn't. She cut those ties. She still talks to those girls. She still loves them from a distance. She actually speaks life into them all the time. But she doesn't have a day-in, day-out relationship because she decided to change her environment, which is the toughest thing you could do. But her destiny, her calling for her life was tugging on her harder than staying the same. She had Jesus, but she still had to get practical. Your environment matters. Number four, on page 105, I love this. Deep human connection over any addiction and bad behavior. So I love this. On page 105, it says, you need deep human connections to overcome any addiction or bad behavior. The opposite of addiction is connection. Actually, addiction is the manifestation of having lack of healthy human connections. Addiction and bad behavior is the product of isolation and loneliness and creates a downward spiral that creates even more isolation and loneliness. This is an entire study on addictions and bad behavior. Based on the fact, this guy is saying, without a shadow of a doubt, it's because of not having relationships that matter. A new report, many Americans are lonely. 48% of all young adults appear to be the hardest hit. The study published by global health service company Cigna found that 40% of all Americans of the U.S. adults report sometimes or always feeling lonely. Depression, anxiety is on the rise like we've never seen before because of loneliness. Study after study, but I'm saying the Word of God gives solutions to what we can do practically as a church for ourselves. Listen, I want a power church. But I want a relationship church. Jesus was relational. He came to bring life and life more abundantly. We are called to be the light of the world, but if we can't step out of our own dysfunction, how are we gonna shine that light? It takes practical things sometimes. Listen, we've been coming off in power, we're growing our church, but to grow big people, you and me, the practicality of making some changes that might seem tough will give you the most fruit. Many of you know you have a calling on your life. Many of you know that you have a destiny and a purpose. For those of you who don't, come on, come to the altar and let's pray and God will reveal it to you. But those that are stuck, they feel like they're in wheel spin. This is what it takes. It takes relationships. In Proverbs 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. Hebrews 10:24. Says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some of you are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all more of us can see the day approaching where we can walk into our destiny. I have example after example after example, but I'm gonna tell you, one of my solutions is get connected in a connect group. If you don't know how, let us help you. You have not because you ask not. But if you say, I don't, that's too big of a stretch for me. I'm not a people person. Let's serve somewhere. Well, I don't like talking to people. Well, it's good to be an usher. You don't have to talk to anybody. Well, I don't know how to smile. You know, I have one of those faces that I haven't taught my muscles how to work yet in a direction that is uplifting. Then good, be a security guard. Come on, Juan, you're gonna have to switch. You're smiling all the time now. But what I'm saying is, we will find a place. We'll find a place. I'm not gonna let the devil convince you to stay the same. I would be a horrible shepherd if I let us just be a power church, but without any practicality. How do we bring our friends in and make this church awesome? Because you know what? There's awesome people in here. You know, to get back to the thing, Proverbs 17:17 is, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for a time of adversity. Our key cornerstone is we build relationships. I don't want the man of God syndrome. I want to hang out with my people. I walked through the same stuff you walked through. I did on Tuesday night. It was scary, but I took authority. I made a phone call to Sam Duth and a few of my friends. They were up at midnight praying for me. You think you could put a price tag on that? Listen, I have some of the most incredible secular friends in the world. Who did I call? My brothers in the house that knew how to pray with authority. And you know the reason why I went in and I had a miracle and the doctor was trying to be all coy and try. He's like, oh, we can't find anything. Unexplainable. It's because I have some friends that got some power on the inside of them, but I also have a relationship and it's called the cell phone. You might be one cell phone call away from your next business deal. You might be one more cell phone call from a new job, from your wife, a brother hooking a brother up. I'm telling you, how do we do it? Because if you're not connected to people, you may not be seeing miracles in your life because you're lacking vessels, you're lacking resources, or you're lacking relationships. You don't need another altar call, prophetic word, or even a prayer line. And I agree with all those statements that they're powerful. You might just need a friend. I need us to be that church that gets out of our own way, let God do a new thing, renew our mind, be the friendliest church, build deep connections and relationships, walk through hell with one another, come out on the other side, not judging each other, because one day, you never know what you're gonna walk through.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.